As it was announced at dinner time, it's a chance to just get together and do some laughing. There's lots of people that think laughing is real healthy and healing, and I hope that's the case for us tonight. Have a good time together. I'm gonna keep score. How many jokes we get in an hour, and we'll see how we do. Okay? But I want you to write your wildest dream, pass the hat, stick it in there. You didn't get a slip.
Yeah, one, no.
Pass the hat.
I'll put it separate.
What I'm gonna use these for is if we run slow, I'm gonna pull those out. Hopefully be a little comic relief. Okay? The second thing for starters that we're gonna do tonight is I want you to turn to somebody, hopefully that you don't know so well, and introduce yourself and tell them the funniest thing you can think of. Whether it's a joke, a story about yourself, a story about your trip here, an anecdote, the funniest thing you can think of, first thing that comes to your mind that's really funny. So, your name and something funny.
A true story.
Doesn't necessarily have to be. Anything you want. The funniest thing that you come to think of. Okay, find somebody and introduce yourself and tell them the funniest thing you can think of.
Hi.
I don't hear any laughing. Oh, sorry. There's some good laughing back there.
They're
getting the start?
No, I have the little part.
Okay. Okay, did you get a chance to meet somebody new and learn a new name and hear something funny maybe? Okay, let's come back to the kind of whole group here. What we're going to do tonight is we're just going to tell stories and jokes and anecdotes and anything that kind of you think might be kind of fun to listen to. If anybody has one of their little wildest dreams to put in here or would like to add one, just pass it on up, we'll put it in. I'm just going to open it up to funny stories or jokes or whatever, and try to keep them, you know, no, kind of, what are those called? Those shaggy dog stories. You know, those that go on and on and on. Because we want to get as many jokes in as we can, and I'm going to keep a tally of how many we get in. So that we can keep a start a contest here. So, who found out heard something funny already, or came ready with a joke that they'd like to tell or a story?
Can we ask you a question?
As long as it's funny.
You saw two Santa Clauses. How could you tell which one was a German, which one's a Norwegian?
Oh, I heard this one this afternoon. I can't remember. What? How?
One of the Easter basket is a Norwegian.
Do you know how to keep a turkey in suspense? How? I'll tell you later.
I tell a level-headed Swede.
How do you tell a level-headed Swede?
That's when the snooze runs out of both sides of his mouth.
I guess you're getting into ethnic jokes here. Okay.
Did you hear about the new zoo in Europe?
What about the new zoo in Europe?
They build a fence around Norway.
Are people hearing me? Do you want me to repeat?
No one's going to repeat them.
Yeah, talk loud. Speak loudly, okay.
You're about the man that went to Texas, and he went into a bar, and oh my goodness, everything was so big. The bar is way up here, and he had to get the ladder to go up the fence, and up to the, sit on the stool, and he ordered a beer, and it was a gallon. So pretty soon he had to go to the bathroom, and the bartender said, well, you go down the hall, turn to your left, the first door to your right. Well, he went down the hall, turned to his right, and first to the door to the left. He fell in the swimming pool. He yelled out, don't flush it, don't flush it.
Okay. We're on a roll.
Why did Moses eat cheese in the ark?
Okay. Who's down? Okay, go.
Ole and Sven.
Yeah. I'll
get it started. Had arrived in the United States and they were going through immigration, and one of the requirements was that they have some trade that they could earn a living. Ole went through first, and they asked him what he did, and he said, I'm a diesel fitter. And I said, well, there's lots of work for people that work with diesel engines here. You go right on through. Well, Sven was next, and they asked Sven what he did. He said, oh, I sold frilly things on ladies' underwear. And he said, well, a lot of that work is done in Mexico and from foreign countries. It's imported. You probably wouldn't be able to earn a living here. We can't let you in. And Sven said, well, I've been working with Ole for years and years. I don't know why. The immigration officer said, well, how does being a diesel fitter and sewing frilly things on ladies' underwear go together? And he said, oh, I sew the frilly things on the ladies' underwear, and I give them to Ole, and Ole holds them up and says, yeah, diesel fitter.
I want to tell you about the fellow that moved into the new town, and he needed to go to the doctor, so he went to the doctor, and he picked one out of the phone book. He was a little bit skeptical, but he went anyway, and he was sitting in the waiting room, and all of a sudden he heard a blood-curdling scream, and his old lady come rushing out of the doctor's office, stark naked, out in the street, and the nurse after her with the clothes, and the rest of the people in the doctor's office didn't seem to pay much attention, and the fellow went into the doctor's office, and it was his turn, and he said, Doc, before you examine me, there's one thing I want to know. He says, what in the world do you tell that woman if she went out of here like that? Well, he says, I told her she was pregnant. Well, Doc, he says, she was 9,500 years old, she's past the age of bearing children. He says, yeah, I know, but I sure cured her hiccups, didn't I?
There was a gorilla that went in the same bar that Carl was talking about.
Yeah.
And the gorilla walked up to the bar and sat on the stool. And the bartender came over and he says, what'll it be? He says, I'll have a shot of red eye. So he wasn't pouring the drink and was thinking to himself about, this is kind of strange, this gorilla coming in here to the bar. So he walked back in and he thought, well, I can probably get quite a little out of this drink. So he gave him a shot of red eye and he says, that'll be $9.50. And so the gorilla pays him, and the bartender says, you know, he says, we don't get many gorillas in here. And he says, well, I can see why at $9.50 a shot.
What the termite said when he came into a bar?
No, what?
Where is the bartender?
I like that one. Debating upstairs, I think. Yes.
This one has a biblical connotation. The five most constipated men in the Bible.
Uh-oh.
Cain wasn't able. Moses took a tablet.
Yeah.
Solomon sat on the throne for 40 years. Balaam couldn't move his ass. And Samson brought the house down.
I'd like to tell a pastor joke. There was took place in the summertime in a southern climate, and the congregation couldn't afford to put in air conditioner in it. Conditioning and it was terribly hot, and they made a contract that the air conditioner was supposed to be put in by the June 1st this next year. And June 1st came around, and no air conditioner. Of course, they hadn't have it in. It got hotter and hotter. And finally, about the 4th of July, the pastor says, "You know, if next Sunday, if the air conditioner isn't in, I promise we're going to have service, but it'll be a very short sermon." And of course, it came around the first part of July, and the air conditioner wasn't in. He gets up and called, but he says, "Well, the air conditioner isn't in, and I promise you a short sermon. Here it is. If you folks think it's hot here, just wait."
Go ahead.
Back there, and then I'll
give you.
Here you go.
Luigi.
Luigi.
Luigi opened up a pizza parlor. Opened up a pizza parlor right across the street from the Vatican. And one night he gets a phone call from the Pope that the Pope wanted one of his special pizzas. So Luigi is just ecstatic about this, and he gets out his biggest tray and he makes a super pizza and is heading across the thoroughfare to the Vatican, but there's lots of traffic. And he's got the pizza on his tray, and he sees the polizia, and he calls to him. He says, it's Luigi from the pizza parlor. I got a pizza for the Pope. And nods his head and blows his whistle and holds out his arms, and traffic stops, and Luigi goes over to the Vatican. 45 minutes or an hour later, Luigi's coming back, and he has his silver tray, and there's still lots of traffic, and the same polizia is in the street, so he yells to him, "Hey, it's me, Luigi. I take the pizza to the Pope." Nods his head, blows the whistle, stops the traffic, and Luigi starts back, and he gets right even with him, and he said, "Hey, waiter." He said, "I know you take the pizza to the Pope, and I know the Pope a very generous fella, and I give you a nice gratuity, and I think you should give me half." And Luigi said, "Sure."
Hear about the German, the Norwegian, watching the 10 o'clock news?
No.
A man was sitting on the building, attempted to jump down. And the German said to the Norwegian, "I bet you $50 that guy jumps down." Norwegian said, "Well," he said, "I don't take many bets, but that's such a foolish one, I'll take that one." So, well, they watched him, pretty soon the man jumps down. So the Norwegian starts counting out, one, and two, and three, got to 25, and the German said, "I can't take that money." He said, "I saw that on the 6 o'clock news." Norwegian said, "I did too, but I didn't think the fool would jump twice."
Tell a pig joke. You tell it. This guy we heard this on the bus out here, so I'm not just quite sure. Okay, he went, they had company in him, they see this pig with a wooden leg. So he says to the salesman, "Now don't say anything about that pig's wooden leg, because he's a dear friend of the family. I was pinned under the tractor and he saved my life. He scraped the dirt until I got out," and so on and so on and so on. And he said, "I can't help but ask about the pig." He said, "Well," he said, "because he was so good to us, we couldn't bear to eat him all at once."
Your reaction is so good.
This is something that actually happened in Seattle. There's an area called Ballard, which is Scandinavian, primarily Norwegian. And this is a fact. Ole and Sven just got back from fishing. They were in the Vasa Grill, and they had a few snorts. And when they came out, they saw this fellow with a little monkey and an organ grinder, and he was trying to get some change from these soft Norwegians. And so Ole gives this guy a $5 bill, and Sven said, "My God, Ole, why did you do that? Couldn't you see he's a Swede?" And the guy, and Sven said that, "Yeah, but the little ones are so cute."
Oh.
That did happen. That's a fact.
Boy, that did happen.
Yeah, back there. Go ahead.
In Seattle, too, Ballard's right where the fishing port is. That's where all the fishing boats tie up. And it's a well-known fact that you can see people doing a pretty unusual activity there, and it has to do with how many people it takes to change a light bulb.
How many does it take? It
takes 15. One to hold the light bulb and 14 to rotate the boat.
No!
And I went with Ole. Ole and Leah got married and lived in the country all their life, and they moved into town out in the suburbs, and Ole and Sven worked together, and one night Sven had driven by Ole and Lena's house and seen them in the house, and he came to work the next day, and he said, "Ole," he said, "you know, whatever you do in the house is up to you, but you know, you should pull the shades." He says, "I saw you and Lena running around the house last night, and you should have had the shades pulled." And Ole laughed, and he told Sven, he says, "Hey, Sven, the yoke is on you." He said, "I wasn't home last night."
Yeah.
Well, when Sven and Lena got married, they were going to take their honeymoon to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And they were driving down the road, and he smiles at her and reaches over and puts his hand on her knee, and she kind of giggles, says, "Sven, you can go further." So they drove to Duluth.
Yeah. Where I worked for, I used to work for the YMCA, which uses a lot of volunteers. My boss made up a joke for our newsletter, the old light bulb. So this was kind of a special joke. How many program directors in the YMCA does it take to turn in a light bulb? Zero. We get a volunteer to do it. You can use that in your church or in your volunteer organization. Okay.
One of the best storytellers, I think, is Husted.
Yeah.
Husted. And there's a tape of his Norwegian stories in there, jokes. It's just tremendous.
So did you listen to it this afternoon so you could tell us all?
Pardon?
Did you listen to it this
no.
afternoon so you could tell us all?
Last year.
Yeah.
One told you the other day about the fellow said, I'm gonna start studying Norwegian. He said, "I'm gonna start studying Greek and Hebrew." Okay. And they said, "What in the world do you want to study Greek and Hebrew for?" Well, they said, "When I get up to heaven, I'm going to be able to talk to them Jacobs and Isaacs and them Greeks." And well, they said, "What if you don't get up there? Or you go to other places?" Well, I already know Norwegian.
Okay.
This young man and woman met and fell madly in love, and after courtship decided to get married. And shortly after the marriage, the whole thing started to fall apart and became very, a lot of animosity toward one another and bitterness, and things got worse and worse, and to a point of just absolute hatred. And so they decided to separate, and they did, without getting a divorce, and they just separated. They were just so angry they didn't want anything to do with each other again. So years went by after this separation continued, and the man received a phone call. He was out in California, and his wife had gone out to the East Coast. He received a phone call from an East Coast undertaker saying that his wife had passed away. Did he want her cremated, buried, or embalmed? And he says, "All three, don't take any chances."
Your children's essays remind me of one that was told last summer here at Holden by the summer coordinators about, you know, how predictable the sermons are sometimes for kids, and and how children kind of almost begin to expect what's going to happen. And there was one that the pastor or whoever was doing the children's sermon was saying, and he asked the kids, okay, what's brown and furry and runs or jumps from tree to tree and hides nuts? And the kids kind of all just sat there and kind of looked around and scratched their head and didn't say anything. So he said again, well, come on, you know, what's brown and furry, jumps from tree to tree and hides nuts? And still the kids didn't say anything. They all just kind of, I don't know, and didn't really say anything. So he said, well, one more time. He said, now what's, come on, you know this. He goes, what's brown and furry, jumps from tree to tree and hides nuts? And so one little boy raised his hand. He goes, well, I think you want me to say Jesus, but I think it's a squirrel.
I have one that I've heard a lot of these Ole and Sven and Ole and Lena jokes. There's one about Ole and Lena where they're, you know, getting up in the years, and Lena was sick and didn't expect that she would live much longer, and she got to thinking, you know, about Ole and what would happen. And so in the evening she said, Ole, you know, if when I die and then you get married again, are you going to live in this same house where we've lived for years and years? And he said, forget about that, don't even think about that. And then she thought some more and she said, Ole, when I die and you get married again, will you and your new friend sleep in this same bed that we've slept in for all these years? And he said, don't think about that and let's forget about all those things. And she thought a little more, and then she finally said, well, Ole, you know, if when I die and you get married again, are you going to let your new wife use my nice new golf clubs? And right away he said, oh no, she's left-handed.
There were four golfers out one bright morning, and all of a sudden a funeral procession came by the golf club. And one of the golfers stopped and stood at attention and put his hand on his heart. And the other guy says, well, what's going on here? I never saw anybody be that respectful of a funeral procession. And the golfer said, well, she was a good wife.
Jackie's story reminded me of a thing that happened to me when I was probably about 13, 14 years old. I was assisting for Vacation Bible School, and I was telling some children about 7 or 8 years old the story of the Good Samaritan, and I was pretty sure they'd heard it before, and so I decided to tell them the story and then ask them what it was the story of. So I told the story and I said, what's this the story of? And they sat there and sat there and sat there. And they couldn't figure it out. And I said, well, you've heard it before, what's the story? And they couldn't figure it out. And I said, well, it's the good. And this one kid's arm shot up in the air and he says, the good fairy. That's it.
Hear about the man who said to another man, boy, your wife was outspoken. He said, by whom?
Moses and Jesus were playing golf. They came to a hole, and the hole had water in front of it. And Jesus asked Moses, he said, what would Arnold Palmer use here? And Moses said, well, I think he'd probably use a 7-iron. He said, too much club. Hit an 8-iron. 8-iron right in the middle of the water. So he asked Moses to part the water for him so he can get the ball, and he does the same thing again. Hits the ball in the water. Asked Moses to do it, and Moses said, well, this is the last time. Well, third time, ball goes in the water again. Jesus is out on the, walking around on the water looking for the golf ball. And someone came up to Moses and said, "Who does he think he is, Jesus Christ?" And Moses says, "He is Jesus Christ. He thinks he's Arnold Palmer."
You probably heard this. This hand is good for business. A judge go out into the garage and get the other boxes. And this finger is good for business. Ralph, you get out of my store and don't you come back again. This finger is good for business. It's a deal. If I lose my shirt, it's a deal. This finger is good for business. Very fine stuff. This finger. Purely social.
There was this lady driving around with a whole bunch of penguins in the back seat of her car. And the cop pulls her over and said, "Look, lady, what are you doing? You know, you can't drive around with these penguins in the back seat of your car." She said, "It's against the law." She said, "I want you to take those penguins to the zoo where they belong." So she drove off and he drove off, and the next day he was making his rounds, and sure enough he didn't come across the same darn lady with these, you know, same car driving around with these penguins in the backseat of her car again. Only they had sunglasses on. And he pulled her over and said, "Lady, look." He goes, "I stopped you yesterday. I told you you couldn't drive around with these penguins in the backseat of your car, and I thought I told you to take these penguins to the zoo." She said, "I did. Today we're going to the beach." She was in her teens in high school and went into this really large store, something like a Kmart in Montana.
Oh no.
It's a little off color maybe, I don't know. But she went in to buy a box of Tam Pak.
Oh no.
And she was young and a little embarrassed to do it, but anyway, she got them and got to the counter to pay for him, and the price wasn't on him. So the checkout person gets on the microphone and goes, "You know, can I have a price check on Tampax?" And it was kind of quiet for a while. And then another voice gets on the microphone and says, "Is that the kind you pound in with a hammer or push in with your thumb?" That's a true story.
Yes, God.
This is an inner faith,
Jill.
There were three clergymen. One was a Protestant minister, one a Catholic priest, and one a Jewish rabbi. There's nothing else but a Jewish rabbi. And they were bragging about how their congregations were treating them. So the Protestant pastor said, "My congregation gave me a new car for my 25th anniversary here in this church." And the Catholic priest said, "Oh, that's nothing. My parish gave me a new Cadillac, and I took holy water and I threw it over it and blessed it after the service on Sunday." So the rabbi says, "You boys don't know what you're talking about." He says, "My congregation gave me a Rolls Royce, and I took it out and I cut off 2 inches off the tail."
Those same three church leaders went to a country where cannibals lived,
And they were a little bit scared that... Okay, the same three church leaders from different church bodies went to on a conference to a country that had cannibals. And they were a little bit nervous, but they decided that they'd go in good faith and that things, everything would be good. And they went, and sure enough, all three got eaten up, and the next day they had an ecumenical movement. That's my mother's joke. She loves it. Yeah.
Well, on the way to this conference, they were having a discussion about when life begins. And the priest said that life begins at the instant of conception. And the Protestant minister said, no. He said, life really begins at birth. And the rabbi said, no, neither one of you understand. Life begins when the kids move out and the dog dies.
Yeah.
As long as we have some rabbi jokes going on, I tell one that was told by a good Jewish friend of mine about the very, very orthodox rabbi that loved to play golf. He was just an avid, almost obsessive about his wanting to play golf. And as you know, on Jewish high holidays, the Jewish people are not supposed to do anything, recreationally, work, otherwise. But this one morning he woke up, it was a Jewish high holiday, and he had such an urge to play golf that he knew that no way he could not play golf that day. But he was very conscious of the fact that he didn't want any of his people that knew him to know that he was going to play golf, because it was strictly forbidden. But the urge was so strong that he decided he'd just get in the car with his golf clubs and he'd drive out of town 100 miles to a place where he would not be known and he could play golf, which he did. So he gets out on the first tee, and by this time Abraham is up above it, is watching this and getting awfully angry and saying, well, God, you aren't going to permit this rabbi to do this, are you? God says, never mind, I'll take care of it. The guy gets up, the rabbi gets up in the first tee, and it's a 210-yard hole, and by this time Abraham is just beside himself with frustration, wondering why God is allowing this rabbi to do this on a Jewish high holiday. So he hits the ball, and it's a beautiful shot, and he gets a hole in one. And this just drives Abraham. He said, Lord, you said you were going to take care of this, and you look what you've let him do. God says, who can he tell?
How many little Jewish mothers does it take to put in a light bulb? Oh, well, that's okay, I'll sit in the dark. There are two people who went into a deli in New York City, and they were looking at the menu, and the special of the day was a tongue sandwich. Well, one person was rather daring, the other had never heard of a tongue sandwich, and didn't think much about that. But the one person who was courageous said, I just think I'm going to try that tongue sandwich. And this other person said, well, what is tongue anyway? And the waitress said, well, it's the tongue of a cow. And this person then said, I couldn't think of eating anything that comes out of a cow's mouth. Just give me a plain old egg sandwich. Okay, you're full of it. You have a good memory for jokes.
Every Friday night, Saul is in the temple. And every Friday night, Saul makes the same prayer, God, let me win the lottery. Nothing happens. Next Friday night, God, let me win the lottery. And this goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And finally, one night, a voice called, "Saul." He looks up. "Saul, meet me halfway. Buy a ticket."
Yeah. Where did Noah keep his bees?
His bees?
Yeah.
Where?
In the archives.
Where does it talk about baseball in the Bible?
It's in the beginning.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
You're about God and Satan putting a wall between heaven and hell.
No.
The agreement was that each would pay half. And so they put up the wall, and the Lord paid his price, and Satan just wasn't paying at all. Drug on, and finally God said to Satan, "You either pay there or I'll sue you." He's where you're going to find some lawyers.
Did you have another one?
Yeah. Moses and Jesus were together, and they were saying, "Well, why not try to do some of those tricks, you know, those miracles we used to do before?" And so Moses went out and he parted the Red Sea, and he said, "Hey, you know, that's kind of neat. I can still do that." And then Jesus started walking on the water, and he sunk. And he said, "What's the matter here?" You know, and he went back to shore and he started walking again. And then Moses says, "Hey, it's those darn holes you got in your feet."
Oh, gee.
Oh, no.
This is a true story about a friend of mine. Her name is Artie Froden. And at Thanksgiving time, she called the corner pantry in Longmont, Colorado, and ordered a turkey. And so they put it down, the size she wanted and the date. And they said, "And what is your name?" "Artie Froden." "No, ma'am, they're fresh."
Three wealthy businessmen are discussing their methods of deciding how much of their money they give to charity. And the first one said, "Well, I take all my money out in the backyard and draw a circle and stand in the middle of it and throw all the money up in the air. And what comes down outside the circle, I give to God." And the second one says, "Yeah, I do the same thing, except all the money that falls inside the circle, I give to God." And they look at the third guy and he says, "Well, I do pretty much the same thing, but I figure whatever hits the ground is mine, and what God wants, God will keep."
This pastor was conducting services, and a few people off the street came in and sat in the back, and during the course of the service, he says, "Everybody that would like to go to heaven, please stand up." Everybody stood up, and they just sat back there, and didn't want to pay much attention to what was going on anyway, and said everybody sat down. He said, "By the way," he said, "you folks back there," he says, "don't you want to go to heaven?" "Yeah, sure we did." "Well," he says, "how come you didn't stand up then?" "Oh," he says, "I thought you were taking a load right away."
Hear about the three fishermen? Clergymen went fishing. One is a Lutheran, and one was a Methodist, one was a Baptist. And they were fishing, and pretty soon one fellow said, "You know, I've got to go to the bathroom." So he gets out and he walks to the shore, the Lutheran.
Yeah, sure.
Pretty soon the Methodist said, "Well, I have to go," so he went out and said the same thing. The Baptist gets out of the boat and plunk right down the bottom. And he got up, he got back in the boat, and he tried again, plunk right down the bottom. And the other two looked at each other and they said, "You suppose we ought to show them where those rocks are?"
Oh dear. Yeah, Matt.
Well, the Sons of Norway Lodge, they chartered a plane to take them back for a holiday back to the old country. And while on the trip, there was some nice beverages and things got a little rowdy, and they started running up and down the plane from one end to the other, and the pilot was having a real hard time keeping it steady and level, so he says to the co-pilot, who happened to be a Swede, he says, "Can you go back there and see about settling down?" make the plane a little easier to fly. So Mr. Hansen went back there, and pretty soon the plane smoothed out. Mr. Hansen came back up with a big grin on his face and sat down and
shave your head in the rock.
Here we go. We'd all be pinheaded.
Just to let you know that at 10:15 there'll be a late night compliment and with a brief Eucharist.
Hear about the Norwegian that came to a house and he just into a town. He just couldn't find a place to live. He just went everywhere. So he said, when he came to the house, and the fellow said, "Well," he said, "I tell you, I had that little house back in the back of our big house. You could maybe stay in there until you find something better." Pretty soon he noticed the guy put an antenna up. And wasn't too long. Pretty soon he saw two antennas. And then the farmer went to the Norwegian. "What is this? I thought you only wanted this for a short time. Now I see you've got two antennas." He said, "Yeah, I rented the bottom part to the Swede."
We got 48 here. Why do we need two more?
Do you know why there's no German ethnic jokes?
Why?
Being German is no joking matter.
Thank you. Hear about the Norwegian that really was a genius. He came up with the ultimate jigsaw puzzle. You don't have one part. The German couldn't work it out either.
This is not Lena and Sven, but it's first. For older people, I guess, the old couple, that he went to the doctor for a physical. And he was a little hard of hearing, so she went with him, because she went every place he went. And so he went into the family doctor, and he took his physical, and the doctor finished, and then he started asking him questions. And so the last question he asked him, he said, "Do you still have intercourse?"
I know this joke.
And so he said, "Well," he said, "let me go check." So he went to the door of the waiting room and he yelled to Mama. He said, "Mama," he wants to know, "do we still have intercourse?" She said, "Papa, how many times do I have to tell you? We have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and Medicare."
So mice died and went to heaven, and St. Peter was there and welcomed them and said, "Just, you know, you get to run the place, just take a look around." And they did, and they came back and they said, "Well, it's really nice, but it's kind of big. We're wondering if we could have some roller skates." And he said, "Sure, here." And they skated up. A little while later, a cat died and came up to heaven, and St. Peter welcomed the cat and said, "You know, take a look around, just make yourself home." A little while later, the cat came back and said, "Yeah, I really like it. I especially like those meals on wheels."
I have one that relates kind of to this one over here. It's a little bit off color, maybe. Lena and Ole were having some marital problems, and so they went to a counselor. And they had several sessions, and finally the counselor asked them if they had mutual orgasm. And they looked at each other, and they looked at each other, and they said, "Oh, no, no, we got Lutheran Brotherhood."
Yes, Jose was a short little fellow, and every summer went out to Grandpa and Grandma's house. And of course, Grandpa and Grandma always went to ball games every night and every night. So Jose was asked to go along, which he did reluctantly. Got to the ball diamond, sat down very stately, and Grandpa and Grandma always were so busy visiting with everybody around them, so paid little attention to Jose. Okay, the aunt and uncle came to visit. And, "Well, Jose, how do you like going to all these ball games?" "Well, okay," because he had to go along, "but I can never see anything. There's always a woman with a big hat ahead of me or other distractions." Well, the aunt said, I tell you what, after this, you go to the ball game with Grandpa and Grandma. You shinny up the flagpole. I'm sure you can see there. So, okay, next night, here it's time to go to the ball game, and they start out. So again, Jose sits down in his seat between Grandpa and Grandma. And while they were busy chatting along with their neighbors and friends all around, he snuck out, crawled up the flagpole, sat there all during the game. But he knew that he had to be back in his seat so they wouldn't miss him when the game was over with, which he did. The next night, Uncle came back to visit again. Well, how did you like the ball game last night? He thought a little bit and he said, oh, I did just what you told me. I had the best seat in the house. And you know what? When, before they started the game, they even honored me by getting up and saying, Jose.
I have a sick story about good news and bad news. It was during the war in Europe, and this one particular set of troops had been out on the front lines for a long time. And they had, you know, they'd gone without a decent meal and a decent place to sleep and a shower and all that for a really long time. And finally the general came before the troops and announced to him, he said, troops, I've got good news and bad news. First, the good news. And said, you're all going to get a change of underwear. And they all clapped and cheered. That was the best thing they'd heard in a long time. And he said, the bad news is...
How are we doing? Are you drying up? Probably not. You guys here probably never dry up.
You, I can't tell.
Matt, did you have another one?
Yeah, the World War II joke reminded me of one. There was four people in a train compartment going across World War II Europe, and there was a young pretty girl and an older woman, her aunt, and a young resistance fighter and a Nazi officer. Well, the train went in through a tunnel, and you heard this, and then a slap on the face, and train comes out of the tunnel and the Nazi officer sitting there. One side of his face is red as a beet. And the old lady says to herself, serves him right for trying to kiss a young girl in the dark. And the Nazi officer says to himself, no, the young girl says to herself, what a sick man that he would try to kiss the old lady instead of me. And the Nazi officer thinks, great, the young guy tried to kiss the girl and I got slapped for his efforts. And the young man thought to himself, this is great. I kiss the back of my hand and get to slug the officer.
That's good. Yes?
I heard about Pat. He celebrated Saturday night at the pub. He did a little more than he should have, and he was quite a stupor as he staggered out on his way home. And it was his custom to take a shortcut through the cemetery. And by instinct, he started out through there. It was a real dark night. And of course, he really didn't know where he was. And he came to an open grave, and he tripped over the ground, and he fell in. And he reached around, and he reached up, and he couldn't feel anything. Couldn't figure out where he was at all. So he said, well, I guess I might as well lay down and go to sleep, which he did. The morning he woke up, the sun was shining. He looked around and wondered where he was. And reached up, grabbed a hole, and reached himself up and saw all these gravestones around. Ye gods, it's the day of the resurrection, and I'm the first man up.
Me of a story that our former associate chaplain Milton Bird told us when he was a pastor out in Massachusetts. many years ago in the old days when they weren't quite so well equipped in cemeteries. And he was having a service in a small town cemetery, and it rained several hours previously, and he stood by the casket, and all of a sudden the ground gave way and he slid down under the casket. and this really happened, Milt said, and the mortician had to come over and pull him out. And he said, I went on with the service, but he said there was quite a bit of snickering around the congregation. Those who were there. It's not a joke, but it's just a real funny happening that happened to Milt.
Something you can laugh about later, right?
That reminds me of one of Leo Husted's stories about one of his relatives in Stanwood. Well, Uncle Thorvald, I believe it was. Went to town. He decided to walk. He wasn't sure of himself on the way back, so he went to the tavern and got pretty well snockered. He started home, and he turned into what he thought was the right driveway, and he just couldn't quite make it to the house. I'm not telling it the way Leo would, but anyway, he couldn't quite make it to the house, so he laid down in a barn, and as he laid in the straw there, he felt something rustling around with him there, and he reached over and felt something, and he said, "Er du svensk?" And the only response he got was, "Norsk, Norsk, Norsk." You don't get it.
I don't get it.
Pig.
Pig.
Now, when Leo tells it, everybody laughs.
Well, I kind of had mentally set a goal of 60 for an hour, and we've done it in a little bit less than an hour. That's, you know, one a minute. That's pretty good. The people that came early put in here some fantasies here. Maybe these aren't going to be so funny, but I thought it would be fun to see what people's wildest dreams are, and we'll kind of end with that. How's that? Peace would break out all over the world. That's a great fantasy. Coming late to a meeting. Somebody must always be on time. I dream to be a circus trapeze artist. Great dream. To be an organist. Must not be fake.
Maybe.
I wish I was a senator in Washington, D.C. I would like to win the Florida lottery.
$55 million.
Yeah,
lady.
Wow. I'm a clergy. I dreamed that I got in the pulpit with shorts on, but I had a shredded wheat biscuit in my mouth. Preaching was impossible. Float down the Colorado River. Build a 70-foot sailboat and take it around the world. My wildest dream is to drive an earth-moving vehicle wearing white gloves and spike heels. You've got a companion in here, like
red sequins.
Red sequins is what you'd like to wear. Be a world famous defense attorney and be able to grow hair. That kind of limits who that might be. So thanks for sharing some laughter and some jokes.